study together this morning, we looked at Psalms chapter 90. If you would, turn your Bibles back to that particular text again, Psalms chapter 90. And we talked about the nature of God. And we talked about the solemn side of man. And we talked about God being from everlasting to everlasting. And we talked about man. Oh, he may live to 70, possibly 80. But even from that point on, life is going to be a drag and a dreary type of existence. And in our study tonight, we want to pick up with verse 12, go through the remaining section of Psalms chapter 90, and kind of look at the way Moses approaches this particular psalm. And as we said this morning, try if we can to place ourselves in Moses' shoes. Here's a man that led the children of Israel out of Egyptian bondage. Here's a man that had spent 40 years wandering out in the wilderness, watching a whole generation of God's people fall and die out there in that wilderness because of unbelief. One would think that it would make Moses hard. Even he himself knew that he would not be able to lead the children of Israel over into Canaan's fair land. He would see it from afar off, from a mountaintop, but would not be permitted to enter the land. All of this because of sin. And we talked about that was our problem today. Sin. Sin separates us from God. But because of God's eternal existence, His only begotten Son willingly left heaven, came to this earth, lived and experienced the human side of life just like we. No, he didn't live to 70, nor did he live to 80. Died about the age of 30 on the cruel cross of Calvary to make it possible for you and I to be redeemed back into the family of God. We also made an application in our lesson this morning to our lives today. The older men and women of this congregation are much like Moses. What's going to be our attitude? What's going to be our goal as far as leading by example, training younger men and women to take over the role of leadership in the body of Christ? What can we expect to see? And what will our attitude be as we reach the frail side of life? Now, Moses really does something that we would not really expect. After seeing what he saw, experiencing the experiences of life that he experienced after having led the children of Israel out of Egypt and seeing a whole generation outside of Joshua and Caleb not be able to enter the land of Canaan. You see what his thoughts were. He offered up a prayer, beginning in verses 12 and following, that really is spectacular. when you think about prayer life and prayers. Such a sincere prayer coming from one who was in reality praying for and writing for and teaching in this psalm, Psalms 90, for the next generation. Those that would follow in his steps. Notice, if you will, what he says in verses 12 and 13. He said, teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Then notice in verse 13, he said, return, O Lord, how long, and let it repent thee concerning thy servant. Notice, if you will, he's saying, Lord, repent. Change your attitude. We're praying for the next generation. They need your prayers. And they need to have faith in your holy word and holy countenance. Notice, if you will, in verse 14, he said, satisfy us early with thy mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad in all our days. Notice, if you will, the parts of this prayer. Teach us to number our days. Teach us through your word to allow us to realize that we need to live each day like this is going to be our last. I wonder if we knew that tonight would be our last night. Would we change anything? Would we pray to Jehovah God about anything that exists in our lives? After all, remember, if you will, we said that the everlasting God has the ability and the capabilities of just bringing our sins, our hidden sins, out into the open. Would there be anything that we would do or say or plead for if we knew that tonight would be our last? And then notice, if you will, he said, satisfy. Satisfy us early in the morning with thy mercies, that we may rejoice. Remember, if you will, just a few weeks ago, while studying the book of Timothy on Wednesday nights, in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and in verse 6, Paul told young Timothy, he said, godliness with contentment is great gain. I wonder if we really think about the emphasis of what that means. How that we should search for, seek for, try to be godly men and women in the body of Christ. Good and godly men know how to turn the darkest trials and tribulations into peaceful contentment. Back in Oxford, one of our young deacons had two young children, one in elementary school, the other in junior high. Was diagnosed with cancer. They diagnosed his disease in January and said, you've got 10 to 11 months to live. We preached his funeral and laid his body to rest in the 11th month. He knew how hard it was for Gay to deal with that death and see his body deteriorate. And every time Gabe would come in the door, John would look at Gabe and says, "Sister Gabe, what can I do for you today?" Knowing that his life on this earth was about to come to an end. Recognizing that his children, he would not see his children graduate from high school or marry, go to college. But yet, he had something special that so many people out there in the world did not have. He had a knowledge of the gospel, God's word. And he had the hope to hold on to. Had another friend of mine, a preacher friend, passed away with a brain cancer. And he and I were talking on the phone one day, and Paul said, I don't know how people deal with the trials and tribulations of life when they don't have the hope that we have. You see, Paul recognized that Timothy needed to let people know about this godliness. Just like Moses knew that he needed to be praying for that next generation. Joshua and Caleb had a tremendous responsibility on their shoulders to lead that group of people over into Canaan's fair land that God had promised to Abraham in the long, long ago. Moses had just seen and experienced a whole generation pass from this life out into eternity. And he said in verse 15, "Make us glad according to the days wherein thou hast afflicted us, and the years when we have seen the evil consequences of that sin." Now he really points to the next generation. In verse 16, he uses a term that could be referred to as sanctify. "Let thy work appear unto thy servants." Sanctify us, God. Bless us, God. Have mercy upon us, God. Oh, yes, we've sinned in a whole generation has died because of the consequences of the evil that they practiced. But all this is a new generation. Be with them, God. Sanctify them. Set them apart. Let them see the glory themselves and to their children. Make us successful, he said. Help them to reach the goals in life spiritually that they need to reach. The book of Habakkuk. In Habakkuk chapter 3 and in verse 3 said, "His glory covered the heavens and the earth, and was full of his praise." In reality, that's what Moses is looking for. That's what Moses is asking for on behalf of that next generation. Make us successful. Let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us. Establish the work of our hands. Allow us to be God's tool. And allow us to leave behind something. Something that the next generation can look back and recall and use as an example. Let our work be established. Oh, he's praying for Moses. He's praying for Joshua and Caleb. He's praying for the leaders of that generation. so that they'll be successful over in Canaan. And that success will be examples for the following generation. Oh, that first generation failed miserably. Sin took them down. But the second generation will see Canaan's fair land. And they'll see the leadership of Joshua and Caleb. And they'll see God's mercy pouring down upon them. Notice also, if you will, when we think about the 90th Psalm, and we really break it apart, we're able to see in verse 1, or the first 3 to 6 verses, we see how feeble man can become if he stays on this earth long enough. In verses 7 through 10, we see the brevity of life. In verse 4, we see the certainty of death. And in verse 17, we see the great need for God. What can we learn from this? What can we hold on to that will help us in the future year? What can we learn that will help us to help this congregation reach the goals that we're trying to reach? If we can only learn from our morality that every day in this world that God created, somebody dies, it should help us to be more serious about our eternity. But more so than that, we ought to be serious about other people's souls and where they might spend eternity. The sinless Son of God allowed His Son to leave heaven to come to this earth to save others. Are we going to be in the saving souls business? Or are we going to just talk about it? Are people going to be able to see through our lives that it's possible for them, in spite of the fact that they know death is coming and death is certain, that there's something called eternity. There's a place that we can go when this life is over, where we can spend eternity throughout the everlasting ages and never experience it, the trials and the tribulations of this life and this world. We'll not have to deal with the sins that we have to deal with in this world. We'll not have to deal with the temptations that we're tempted with in this world. Maybe, just maybe, we can use this lesson to help us realize about the seriousness of eternity. And maybe it can help us to be more conscious about our spiritual lives. And we can learn from this chapter that our God is a tender God. Our God is a loving God. Our God is a merciful God. And He can be our dwelling place. a place of comfort, a place that we can hold on to when the trials and tribulations of life began to bear down on us, to have the hope of eternal life. Remember, if you will, we quoted from Isaiah chapter 57. And later on, Isaiah made the statement that he was the high and the lofty one, the holy one. And those that had a humble and a contrite spirit could dwell with him in this special dwelling place. What about you tonight? Do you have this dwelling place? Do you have a humble and a contrite spirit? Do you tremble when you pray to God the Father? Do you tremble at His very existence? One that could be from everlasting to everlasting. Do you really think about that? When we come together at special occasions such as this, to sing together, to pray together, study together, do you think about what a sweet prayer Moses prayed in Psalms chapter 90? Do you think about what we have in Christ Jesus? Paul reminded the Ephesian Christians in Ephesians chapter 1, he said, all spiritual blessings are in Christ Jesus. What a beautiful family we have. A family that can rely on and depend on our God in heaven, who sent His only Son to die for us on the cross, left behind the Holy Spirit to leave us the Word of God. How serious are we about studying, growing, maturing in the faith, and allowing that to be our message, that we give people an opportunity to know something about the gospel and about our spiritual family, and about what Jesus did to make it possible for them, their souls to be a part of that family also by the obedience to the gospel. Remember, if you will, he talked to Nicodemus about being Jesus did, about being born again. Peter in Acts chapter 2 was speaking and someone stopped him and said, men and brethren, what shall we do? Peter said, repent and be baptized for the remission of your sins. On that occasion, some 3,000 souls went down into that watery grave. They died to sin and they came up a new creation in Christ Jesus. If you need to respond in any way, why not take the opportunity as David leads us in this fire?